This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Thalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fih. Hudan Lil Muttaqin. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إخوتي في الله فاعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله we were able to finish some of the advice of the Messenger of Allah last 2 weeks and inshallah we will continue with advice number 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 so we may conclude this hadith and the advice of the Messenger of Allah for the believers. The fifth advice that he gave to Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu and to all the Muslims, to all the companions, to all the ulama, to all the general Muslim, قَالَ وَلَا تُنَازِعُ وُلَاةَ الْأَمْرِ وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ This is very important for us to understand. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم وَلَا تُنَازِعَنَّ وُلَاةِ الْأَمْرِ And do not challenge, do not try to overthrow the people of authority. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وَإِنْ رَأَيْتْ أَنَّكْ أَنْتْ Even if you think, if you believe that you are the most suitable person for that position. If you think that there is no one better than you for that position. There is no other mu'min can do the job as well, as good as you can do, still, it is forbidden for you to challenge the people of authority in their authority. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, the author in this book, hafidhahullah, he said, otherwise there would be a chaos, there would be a problem among the ummah. If everybody who thinks, everyone who thinks that he's better than the person who is in charge comes to the platform and he says, I am the person who's more suitable than this person, then you would have group with this person and another group with that person, then the ummah will be in that cycle of fitna always and all the time. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, don't challenge them, don't change them, don't try to overthrow them, because this is will only cause chaos. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in a hadith, إنكم ستحرصون على الإمام. It is important because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah, he is not talking based on his experience. He is not talking based on what he thinks. He's talking based on the revelation that he has from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, will always, always speak the truth, and he will never say something out of his own desire. Remember the famous story of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu. A young man who was so eager to worship Allah, and he also wanted to record and report everything that Rasulullah would say. So when Rasulullah said, Ya Abu Bakr, qum, Amr ibn As wa Rasulullah qala li Abu Bakr, qum ya Abu Bakr. So the people around this young man, they say, you should not be recording everything that he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's indeed a human being. Rasulullah is not God. Rasulullah, it is not a person to be worshipped. Rasulullah is a messenger of Allah to deliver the message of Allah to the mankind. So they say he's a human being. He needs rest as we need rest. He needs to eat as we need to eat. He needs, sometimes he gets upset and angry because of the action of the people. Sometimes he's not in the right mood. So don't write and report everything. He's a human being. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu abstained from reporting for 3 days. Did not write anything. He comes, if he sees something, that he will keep that to himself. But he will not write anything until he went to the Messenger of Allah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my habit was to record and report everything that you say or do. But people of my tribe admonished me and say, do not do this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his face changed, became red. And that was a sign that Rasulullah is not pleased. So he said, Uktub ya ibn Amr, Uktub ya Abdullah, write. For wallahi, he pointed to his tongue and he said, For wallahi la yaqulu illa haqqa. Wallahi, he only says that which is haqq and truth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his statement is wahy. His statement is wahy. And that's why he said, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتَ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَ I was giving the Qur'an and that which is like it. I was giving the Qur'an as a revelation, the book of Allah, and a wahy. That is like the Qur'an, means the orders of Rasulullah are as valid as the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here he is telling us, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ سَتَحْرِصُونَ عَلَى الْإِمَارَ You will be very eager to be in the position of authority. You will love to be in the position of authority. You want, when you point to your finger, that everybody moves. You want them to listen and obey you all the time. You want your statement not to be questioned. You want to be the person that his statement is final. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ تَتَحْرِصُونَ عَلَى الْإِمَارَةِ You will be eager to achieve that position. قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَإِنَّهَا قَالَ وَسَتَكُونُ النَّدَامَةِ
but you will regret it. He said, you will regret it. You're eager to become a president. You're eager to become a ruler of a government. You're eager to become a person in a high position. But Rasulullah said, you will regret that. You know why? Because after you become in charge, then everyone underneath you will be your responsibility. You know what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say? He used to hide from the eyes of the Sahaba. And he used to go in a confined, exclusive area. And he had a thick beard, radiallahu anhu. And he would grab his beard with his both hands, and he would shake himself so hard that he would get dizzy, radiallahu anhu. And he would say to him, no one else is there. Bakhin Bakhin ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Oh, Ibn al-Khattab, all of a sudden you became Amir al-Mu'mineen. All of a sudden you became a man of authority. Wallahi la tataqiyanna Allah, aw la yu'adhibannaka Allah wa la yubali. He said, all of a sudden you became an Amir, Ibn al-Khattab. Wallahi, if you're not dutiful to Allah, if you don't fear Allah, Allah will throw you into hellfire and He will not care about you. Fear Allah. Regard the people under you. And that's why radiyallahu anhu, what he used to say in Athar, Wallahi law baghla, law ta'atharat baghla. He said, Wallahi, law atharat baghla fi Baghdad or fi Sham. He said, Wallahi, if something happens to a mule in a distant, in a Sham, in an area, that area, Allah would ask me on the day of judgment, how come you were not responsible enough to fix the road for that animal? To fix the road for the animal. So Rasulullah, he said, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will become a nadama. You will regret it. You will regret it. And Umar ibn Khattab, at the time of his death, who comes to him? The cousin of Messenger of Allah, Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Umar ibn Khattab, at that moment, his blood is gushing from his sight. He's been poisoned. The doctor brought milk, water, and he said, drink, and the people couldn't tell what is coming out of his sight. Is it the water or the blood? So he said, no, bring milk for the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he drank milk, and the milk came from his side. And when he saw that situation, the doctor said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, who's? Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, appoint someone after you. You're not going to make it. And then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, his head was on the thigh of Abdullah and his son. And he said, Ya Bunay, ضَعْ رَاسِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ ضَعْ خَدِّي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. He said, oh my son, put my cheek on the dirt, on the ground. لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ إِذَا طَلَعَ عَلَيْهِ. Maybe if Allah looks at my condition, He will forgive my sin. SubhanAllah. This is Umar ibn Khattab. This is the man that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, the day that Umar ibn Khattab accepted Islam, we became honored. The day that he accepted Islam, we were allowed to pray in public. The day that Umar accepted Islam, it was a victory for the Ummah. And his khilafah was a rahmah, it was a mercy for the Ummah. And he's saying, at that moment, put my cheek on the ground, on the dirt. Maybe Allah will look at my situation and will forget my shortcomings. يقول عبد الله فظننت, I thought, because of the poison, he's not conscious. So I ignore his request. So he repeated the same request again. That I ignore the request because I thought through this pain he does not know what he's saying. He said for the third time, قَالَ تَكِنَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. Your mother may lose you. I ask you to put my cheek on the dirt. قَالَ فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ عَلَى وَعِيٍ. I learned and realized that the man is conscious. So I put his cheek on the dirt. يَقُولُ فَوَاللَّهِ. The tears that was coming from the side of his eyes wet the dirt under his cheek. At that moment, Abdullah ibn Abbas comes فقال يا أمير المؤمنين ابشر يا أمير المؤمنين glad tidings for you. You believed in Allah when everyone else rejected him. You fought for the sake of Allah when the people turned away from Allah and His Messenger. You became the Khalifa and you were merciful to Ummah. فقال ابن عباس أتشهد بذاك يوم القيامة. يا ابن عباس, will you testify and repeat the same thing on the day of يوم القيامة؟ فسكت ابن عباس. ابن عباس رضي الله عنه didn't know what to say. فعلي رضي الله عنه jumped to the seat. نعم يا أمير المؤمنين. We will testify. We are the family of the Messenger of Allah. We will testify that you are just ruler. فقال ليتني. I wish he was a kafaf. I wish he was nothing. I wish my mother never bore me. I wish I was never existed. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Khattab, Mubashir bil Jannah, Badri from the people of Badr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala ya Umar wama yudrika anna Allah tala ala qulubi ahli Badr faqala fa'alu ma shi'tu faqad ghafartu lakum. Ya Umar, when he went to say Talha in Shismu Hatib bin Abi Bal'a, he became a munafiq. He said, no, how do you know? Maybe Allah took a glance of the hearts of the people of Badr and he told them, do whatever you wish, I have forgiven your sins. He is a Badri and he is one of the people that was giving a glad tidings. He was the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he was that concerned at that point. لذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وستكون الندامة يوم القيامة فنعم المرضعة. نعم المرضعة. مرضعة is a wet nurse. As he said, when the child is sucking the breast of his mother, and he enjoys, he loves the milk. You know, you see a little kid and the mother is sucking that child. His little feet are playing, you know, he's so happy he's getting milk. He said, this is how the imara, this is how the leadership is. At the time when you are experiencing that time, you will enjoy it. Oh, people listen to you. Well, you get everything that you want. This is how it is. And when you enjoy something, sometimes you overlook your mistakes. You overlook the things that you did wrong. You overlook what would happen if you were that person that you're dealing with. How that person feels. وَيَقُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْفَاطِرُ. And he said, what a miserable weaning. See, when you want to wean your child, when you stop him from sucking, that child, he rebels. He doesn't want to take the bottle. He doesn't want to eat solid food. He just keep running to the mother and he said, no, I want my milk. I want my milk. It's a painful period for the child at that moment. He's a young child, but leadership is like this. When you're suckling, you don't realize, he said, Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah said. But when you are held accountable of this is a hardship. The man who used to counsel, and his name was Ibn Umar also, Umar رضي الله عنه, Amir ibn Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said, I had a dream. I had a dream. And he said, in the dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting. Rasulullah was sitting. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came. And the judgment took so long for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And then he passed the judgment. And then Umar came, radiallahu anhu. And the judgment was longer. And he passed. And Uthman came. And the judgment was also long. And he passed. And Ali also came at the same thing. And then you, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, arrived. You came to the judgment, to the court of Allah. You came to the court of Allah. قَالَ فَضَالَ مَقَامُكُ. And your time was longer than anyone who ever came before you. And this time, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, was the governor of Medina, not the Khalifa of the Ummah. فَقَالَ فَكَيْفَ أَوَّلْتَ. What is your interpretation regarding this dream? قَالَ وَاللَّهِ, you are the Khalifa of this Ummah. You will be the Khalifa of this Ummah. But look, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, you know how long he ruled? 2 years and 6 months. This is how long he ruled the Ummah. At his time, there was no one who was willing to come forward and take charity. Because everyone was wealthy. Everyone was giving enough. What we call Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin, the Islamic banking, it was full with gold, silver, and other things. And nobody would come and ask for it. To the point that some of the governors, he wrote, he's a famous story as you all know, he wrote him a letter. And he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this money." He said, "Well, announce if there's anyone, who is in debt." So he announced and he paid all the debts of the Muslims. He said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'min, we still have so much left." He said, "Then go and see if there's Ibn Sabeel, a traveler, give him some." He wrote him back, "We still have so much." He said, "Go and see if there's any slave. Purchase them out and sell, send them free." He said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'min, did it, but still there's so much wealth." He said, "Look and search for young people who are willing to get married. And get them married. Everything, all the expenses of the wedding comes from the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin." قَالَ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, we still have so much money. قَالَ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He said, "This is the bounty and the blessings of Allah." Now this man, Fatima, his wife, she said, 2 years and 6 months, he never touched me. They said, "Why?" She said, "Because every single night he spends his night weeping and crying because of the responsibility. Every single night." And he gave a choice. He said, "Ya Fatima, you see my condition. If you want to be my wife and your reward inshallah is Jannah, let us take this journey together. Let us take this journey together. But if you want to live and enjoy the desire or the bounties of this dunya, then, and you want to be away from me, it is yours." But she said, "There is no life worthy of living except the life that is with you. Except living with you." Radiyallahu Fatima. This is his wife, Ikhwati. Now, look, for 2 years and 6 months, and he was living with the minimum. He's living with the minimum. The entourage, the horses, the bodyguards, the nice outfit. All of them he gave them up on the first day. He got to the member and he said to the Ummah, subhanAllah, a person that was appointed to be Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, "I was asked to leave you, but I don't want to leave you. Choose someone else." And the whole nation in one voice, all of them scream, "Allah, we don't want anyone else but you." قَالَ اللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ. He said, "May Allah help me." And he came crying. And Fatima said, "What's wrong with you? You became the Amir." He said, "Ya Fatima, do you know the situation? The responsibility of Ummati Muhammad is on my neck, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now, the ulama, rahimahullah, they say when he was dying, he is one of the few people who was able to speak. Who was able to speak at the time when the soul was leaving the body. And you know, nobody's allowed to can speak at that time because of the agony of pain and the pain of death. And he would say, "Marhaban bikum, marhaban bikum, laqad tal al-farah." He said, "Welcome, welcome. I have been waiting for you." He's been waiting for Malak ibn, subhanAllah. He had everything. The power, status, family, royal family, everything. But he was waiting for Malak al-Maut. Now, this is a person was afraid that Allah would not let him pass to paradise. Now what would anyone else nowadays with all this temptation do who is in authority? Also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اسمعوا وأطيعوا, to the rulers. He said, اسمعوا, hear them, listen to them, and obey them. Hear their orders. They tell you to do something. As long as what they ask you to do, it is not sin, then it is not for you to obey. قال وإن استعمل عليكم. Look, he said, maybe you are the right person. Maybe you're better than the person who's in charge. وإن استعمل عليكم. Maybe the person who's been appointed over you is not as good, as important, as, you know, it's not as good as you. وإن استعمل عليكم عبد حبش. A slave from Abyssinia. He's not even a free man. You know, at the time of Arab, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were slaves. They were slaves from Persia, in Mecca. They were slaves from Europe, in Mecca. Suhayb al-Rumi, in Mecca. They were slaves from Abyssinia, all over the world. And Islam freed them. So he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if an Abyssinian slave was placed in charge over you, you must listen and you must obey. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أقام فيكم كتاب. As long as that person is leading you based on the book of Allah and the teaching of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's teaching you because this book is a contract. This book is a system that we follow. We govern ourselves based on the Qur'an. So if that person leading you on the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't question them, just obey. قِيلَ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ. The Sahaba said, the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ أُقِيمَ إِنْ قَامَتْ عَلَيْنَا الْأُمَرَاءُ يَسْأَلُونَنَا حَقَّهُمْ يَسْأَلُونَ حَقَّهُمْ وَيَمْنَعُونَنَا حَقَّنَا. They say, Ya Rasulullah, what if this appointed individuals, umara, rulers, they asking us to give them their rights, but they're not giving us our rights. Yeah, it only works one way. It's not two ways, only one way. They want certain things. They want you to be a decent, obedient servant of Allah and follow the system. But when you ask for your right, they won't give you any. What should we do? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ فَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا. They said, what is your recommendation, O Messenger of Allah, O Messenger? قَالَ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ ثَلَاثٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to answer this question three times. He refused to answer this question three times. And the person keep asking, Ya Rasul, what should we do? What should we do? What should we do? And then he said, اسْمَعُوا وَأَطِيعُوا. I said, listen and obey them. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا حُمِّلُوا وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ. He said, your responsibility is a responsibility that's defined for you to deliver onto the other side. And they will be responsible of what they were put in charge. So don't say, oh, he's not delivering my rights, therefore I'm allowed to go against this person. I'm allowed to disobey or be a child of this person. No. Now, this is not only for the Amir, but it's also for you and your Muslim brother. Everything for you and your wife. For you and your child. Child and the father. Sister to a sister, mother to a daughter, daughter to a mother. It goes only one way. Why am I saying this? Because on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah would not ask me How come your brother Ridwan did not give you your rights? He would have asked me this. But Allah would ask me, how come I didn't give my brother Ridwan his rights? How come I didn't give him his rights? Oh, Ya Allah, he was true to me. Ya Allah. Ya, look at the beauty of Islam. Beauty of Islam. He said, yes, we know. Rasulullah is teaching us. He said, yes, there could be a sallallahu, there could be a conflict. There could be a problem. But if you have a problem, if you have a problem, don't avoid your brother more than 3 days. Sallallahu, 3 days. And look. And he said, and even if your brother attacks you, he is doing wrong, avoid hitting him on the head. Yani you have to defend yourself from your Muslim brother. Somehow shaitan gets into him, or you know, and he is out of control. Don't hurt him. Be kind to him. And when you're upset, Ridwan came, mashallah, he's pummeling on me, and mashallah, you know, and I'm upset with him. But look, during this time that I'm mad with him 3 days, maximum, if he sneezes, what should I say? He says, he sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah. I don't say, no, I'm mad at you. I'm not going to tell you, Yarhamakallah, may Allah have mercy. No, we'll say, Yarhamakallah. If you're mad at me and I make dua, I pray for you. And look into the heart. It is not easy. He comes to me and says, Assalamu alaikum. Should I respond? He says, Assalamu alaikum. He greets me with Islamic greetings. Should I respond to him? It is must. I must say,